I would like for us to turn our attention now to a very important document which was much reviled, criticized, and despised by the secular press when it appeared in March of 2004, and that's the document, the address to the gathering which was taking place at the Vatican, or I should say in Rome. It was an international conference on life-sustaining treatment and the vegetative state, which was a papal allocution by Blessed Pope John Paul II. And the picture was taken that is at the top of this document was taken at very much the same time as the allocution, and it's important to bear in mind that the Pope was speaking about a condition which he himself was coming to appreciate more existentially, that he was more and more aware of suffering at the end of life as his own life drew to a close. So there's a particular poignancy to this document. Part of the reason it was received so badly and so widely criticized was that the consensus in the medical community had been growing for some time that people in a persistent vegetative state ought to be eligible, as it was described, for having their nutrition and hydration withdrawn, ostensibly because no right-thinking person would possibly want to continue to exist in that condition. So this meeting took place, and the Pope addressed that very specific question. It is an extremely valuable, detailed, and I would go so far as to say prophetic document, because it's important to bear in mind that it appeared in 2004, well before the studies that were officially, or I should say widely known, beginning in 2010, which we've already seen and will remind ourselves again, on the fact that a significant proportion of people in this diagnostic category can willfully modulate brain activity, which is another way of saying they're not quite as vegetative as one previously had imagined. And this was well even before the researches of Professor Adrian Owen, who was one of the researchers and contributors to that article that appeared in 2010. So it's quite remarkable that this document, 6 years before, would anticipate many of the findings that would become internationally known in the medical community. But the Pope's concern, of course, is to analyze the theological and moral significance of what was being reflected on in the medical community at that time. I should add quickly, and we will look at this more specifically a little bit later, and that this is a papal allocution, which is not generally regarded as being at the same level of magisterial authority as, say, a papal encyclical, or certainly as a document from a Vatican council. Nevertheless, as we'll see, because people began to misinterpret, reject, misunderstand the teaching of this document, it was specifically reinforced, ratified by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, as we'll see, in regard to the obligatory nature of providing nutrition and hydration for people in this condition, and the definition of nutrition and hydration as basic care rather than as a medical or therapeutic intervention. These are important distinctions, as we shall see. Well, let's look at the document itself. I might again mention, just by way of introduction, that it is a document specifically concerned with care of individuals in the persistent vegetative state. It is not intended to address the obligatory nature of care for people who are, say, at the end of life. There's another document that was published at the same level of papal concern, that is to say, it was an allocution or a papal address, which concerns palliative care and which we will look at a little bit later in this section. But let's concern ourselves right now with this document. If we could drop down to section number 2, to number 2, and the again, as is often the case in these web pages that I've created, the section in dark blue is my own commentary or my own headings of something which doesn't actually appear in the text. And I've highlighted it as diagnosis and uncertainties. And note here in number 2 that the Pope has been very well informed by neurologists who are familiar with the problem of the persistent vegetative state, and he reminds everyone that, first of all, one has to have a correct diagnosis, which requires prolonged and careful observation in specialized centers by people who are familiar with this condition. It cannot be diagnosed quickly. It can't be diagnosed, most authorities agree, degree until after the individual has been in this condition for at least 6 months. Some specialists say for a year, and that's the diagnosis, or I should say the category, the criterion that is adopted in this document. And it's also highlighted, and I've numbered these things in brackets. The numbers are not in the original, as you can see in the Italian on the right. There are a high number of diagnostic errors, which we'll see again has been well documented in the medical literature. And it's also pointed out that there are instances of individuals who, with appropriate treatment, are able to emerge or at least to move to a higher level of interaction with their environment over time. However, as it's noted, individuals who remain in this state for a long period of time, for over a year, are often described as being in this state permanently because at that point recovery is extremely rare. However, it's rare but not completely unknown. And so if we drop down now to number two, the Pope points out and highlights that the term vegetative that is used is itself very pejorative. It implies that the individual no longer belongs, even as it were, to the animal kingdom, that the individual can be, in a sense, disregarded and certainly not be regarded as having appropriate human rights. And therefore, this term is highly problematic, and one needs to be aware of the negative implications of it when it is used, and the fact that it has a certain psychological significance when it is employed. In number four, ethical and moral implications, as I've labeled it, what the Pope highlights is that the persistent vegetative state individual is not in a separate category from all other human beings, but they are to be regarded as profoundly disabled, and therefore are entitled to all the privileges and rights and comforts that a disabled person should normally be offered. And so, particularly, it's emphasized that there is a need for rehabilitative care, monitoring for clinical signs of eventual recovery, and one needs to note parenthetically that the majority of individuals in this diagnostic category do not receive careful clinical evaluation on a regular ongoing basis. Many of them find themselves in nursing homes where they are provided with basic care, but only basic care, and seen by specialists and competent therapists only relatively rarely. So, particularly emphasized here, and I've highlighted it in red, is that the administration of food and water, even when it's provided artificially, is always, and this is something that was new to this document, always a natural means of preserving life and not a medical act. And therefore, its use should be considered, and this is a general statement, not just specifically for people in the persistent vegetative state, although that is the context that has sparked or spurred this definition. Therefore, the use of nutrition and hydration is, and notice that I've highlighted or I've put in black text and underlined, in linea di principio, in principle, ordinary and proportionate, and as such, morally obligatory. So the use of nutrition and hydration is normally, in principle, generally speaking, in most cases, ordinary, proportionate, and morally obligatory. Notice that he does not say always. And ours is a tradition. The Catholic tradition is not afraid of saying always when something is inevitably always required. So to say in principle means that there may well be exceptions. Exceptions, obviously, as in the case of the dying who have reached the end of life and who are no longer able either to absorb nutrition and hydration, or for whom, if they make the choice, not receiving nutrition and hydration would be a normal part of the dying process, simply choosing not to eat or drink and not being forced to receive nutrition and hydration in unusual ways, such as by tube feedings. So this statement does not mean that all Catholics must die with nasogastric tubes in place, which is how this document has been lampooned and parodied in the lay press, as implying that this is now obligatory for all Catholics. This is simply a description of the fact that these are normal, proper care that should always be offered to people, that they are not specifically medical therapy. But we have certainly seen that in our tradition, there are circumstances in which even ordinary or normal care is not obligatory, is not required. So, in principle, Generally speaking, in most cases, this is the norm. One should offer nutrition and hydration to all persons. However, as we have seen, there are legitimate reasons for an individual choosing not to receive even that which is ordinary or proportionate. So this is the great controversy that this document spurred or sparked. And so, again, the goal is to emphasize that you cannot simply discontinue nutrition and hydration from someone because they are in a persistent vegetative state. These individuals must be regarded as profoundly disabled, but not people meriting death. So, I've highlighted the text, with waning hopes, even when the individual's recovery is virtually thought to be non-existent, that the individual is thought to almost certainly have a prognosis of remaining in this state, then note that it's highlighted death by starvation or dehydration is in fact the only possible outcome as a result of the withdrawal of these modalities. And this is important to note because the person in a persistent vegetative state is not dying. Their organ systems are not progressively shutting down, as in the case of individuals who are at the end of life. And people who work with hospice, who work with palliative care for the dying, have emphasized that studies have demonstrated that for people who are dying, who have reached the end of their lives, their choice not to eat or drink does not result in more pain or discomfort for themselves. That is true of individuals who are dying. There are a variety of reasons for this. It's postulated that a number of substances are being secreted into the bloodstream, that the body chemistry is unusual, and for a variety of reasons, many of which we don't understand, the dying person is not aware of the same sort of sensation of thirst or of hunger that a normal person would experience if these means were withdrawn. However, the person in the persistent vegetative state is not dying. They are in a stable state. And so the Pope's warning here is particularly timely, especially since as a result of recent studies, we know that some measure of consciousness or awareness may be present in these individuals. They do not have all the biochemical changes that a dying patient has. And so if an individual has some level of awareness, it's extremely likely that they would be aware at some level of what it feels like to have nutrition and hydration withdrawn if they're in the persistent vegetative state. So this is a very appropriate and timely and even anticipatory warning that preceded the studies that make it clear how important this moral principle is. And in the last paragraph, just above number 5, the Pope highlights that the doubt of being in the presence of a living person imposes the obligation of full respect and abstaining from any act that anticipates the person's death. So if there is doubt as to the person's condition, one must act in favor of life. And in number 5, he points out that the idea of, or the much bandied about notion of quality of life, which is often a term that is used as a way of justifying the withdrawal of nutrition and hydration based on a presumption made by the able-bodied looking at someone in this condition, that their life is no longer worth living, that really isn't appropriate. As he points out, that this, quote, quality of life decision, which is often dictated by psychological, social, or economic pressures, can't take precedence over the principles that he's already articulated. And he emphasizes here what we've just said, that it is not possible to rule out that withdrawal of nutrition and hydration could result in extreme suffering for the sick person, even if all we see is gestures or responses at the level of the autonomic nervous system. The bedside assessment of a neurologically compromised patient is not sufficient to determine what is actually going on in the patient's brain, as imaging studies have made very clear in recent years. And that's something he highlights in the next section that I've highlighted in red. Modern clinical neurophysiology and imaging techniques seem to point to the lasting quality in these patients of elementary forms of communication and analysis of stimuli. So he's holding up the probability that, exactly as has happened in later years, as we now know, that advances in neurology would indicate that a significant number of patients in this setting are, in fact, at some level capable of some kind of awareness. And the final section of this document is of very great importance. It's very forward-looking, and it's something that is often not stressed, that is completely ignored. As we'll see, the rush to discontinue life support very often compromises the whole issue of palliative care, of caring for people and actually treating their symptoms. But there's another level as well, and that is the elimination of social structures intended to support people who are either disabled or who have committed themselves to being caregivers. And so the Pope highlights in number 6 that it's necessary to promote positive action as a stand against the pressure to withdraw hydration and nutrition from these patients. He says it's above all necessary to support the families who have decided to take care of loved ones. And this, of course, is a unique situation in that once their stay in a rehabilitation facility is complete, that is to say it's determined that they've received all that advanced care needs to provide, as long as they are regularly turned, as long as their skin doesn't break down, as long as they receive a basic hygiene care and their waste products are taken care of and they're given nutrition and hydration. These are patients who can conceivably be cared for, and many of them are cared for by families at home. But the Pope highlights something that is often neglected, that people who make that choice to care for loved ones struck down by this terrible clinical condition cannot be left alone with their heavy human, psychological, and financial burden. Individuals become burned out. Often they'll embrace this duty initially, but then discover that it's much more than they realized it would be. They become depressed. They become sad. They discover that their own inability to move about as much or to undertake outside activities perhaps limits their financial prospects, and so something needs to be done. The church needs to address the situation of these individuals, and he recommends 4 things in particular. Number 1, creation of what he calls awakening centers, that is, places where specialized treatment and rehab programs can exist, specifically devoted to trying to help patients in a persistent vegetative state, financial support and home assistance, so that there are others who can come in and assist families who are caring for these individuals. Number 3, facilities that can accommodate individuals when there is no family. And number 4, very important, some context for breaks for the families who are at risk of psychological and moral burnout. And that's pretty much the conclusion, except for the text that I've highlighted just above number 7. Spiritual counseling and pastoral aid are particularly important as help for recovering the deepest meaning of an apparently desperate condition. And of course, this is spiritual counseling and pastoral aid for the families and friends of those who are in this terrible situation of being in a persistent vegetative state. So, the importance to minister to these individuals as well as providing them with psychological and financial assistance is particularly highlighted. Again, I'd like to highlight that this document appeared well in advance of the studies that became internationally known that demonstrated that the Pope was absolutely right, that there is much more to the persistent vegetative state than was realized, and therefore the moral issues which he raises become all the more acute and all the more prominent in light of the results of the research, which we will be looking at again in the next section of this course.